Will you please find again tonight in the Word of God, the 8th book of the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, and we're going to break into the chapter at verse 6 and read to the end of verse 13 and then verses 19 through 22. And the theme of the message tonight is Good News Reaches Moab. Good News Reaches Moab. But let us first of all read these verses before us, beginning at verse 6. And the reference here, of course, is to Naomi. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Then if you will, turn to the 19th verse, and we will read to the end of the chapter. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And may the Lord be pleased to bless the public reading of his word, for Christ's sake. Amen. The scene is Bethlehem. It's a time of famine. Elimelech, with a young wife and two sons to support, is about to make a life-changing decision. He wrongly concludes that the best thing for him and his family to do is to pack up their bags and to move away. So the four of them set out over the eastern hills to the land of Moab. It's only about 50 miles as the crow flies. They arrive, they settle in, and fortune seems to smile upon the family for a time. They probably thought to themselves, this has been a very good move. The two sons, they marry local girls, and the Elimelech line seems to be well established. However, in only 10 short years, drastic changes take place. Three times death knocks on the cottage door. First, Naomi loses her husband, and then her two sons, they find graves in that foreign soil. And three times Naomi turns from paying her last respects to face a world empty of those that she dearly loved. Humanly speaking, all that she had found in the land of Moab was want, woe, and widowhood. She could no longer remain in a land where everything reminded her of such a cruel fate. Hearing that the Lord had visited his people again in the land of Judah and giving them bread, she trudges wearily along the pathway. With heavy heart, she craves for a crumb of comfort from the familiar places of our youth, from our childhood, from happier days in our marriage. The family of Elimelech was blotted out. Only God could build it again. Only God can bring life out of death. Only God can revive. Only God can restore a vigorous spiritual life to a backslider. It was when Naomi heard in Moab how that the Lord had visited his people that she left Moab and she returned with Ruth to Bethlehem. The turning point in the family of Naomi, which changed her family forever, which changed her life and changed the life of Ruth, was when they heard in the country of Moab what the Lord had done for his people. What a beautiful picture this is of the gospel, the good news that proclaims to sinners what the Lord God hath done for his people through the life, through the death, through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we saw this morning in 2 Kings 4, a gospel picture, we also have a gospel picture here in the book of Ruth. And that's the way you ought to read the Old Testament, always looking for pictures of Christ, because Christ can be found on every page. The gospel can be found on every page. And while this is historical truth, and it is easy to read these historical stories, please do not fail to see the gospel. Look a little bit deeper, and you'll never be disappointed, because God was preparing the people in the Old Testament for gospel days when Christ would come and Christ would offer himself as a sacrifice for sin on the cross. So please keep this before you as you read the book of Ruth. So we want to think for a moment or two of this good news that reached Moab. In the first place, we discover that it was a very simple message. Notice what it says there in verse 6. She had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. This really was the first ray of light and hope that she had heard or had in a long, long time. It was a remarkable message, but the point I want to emphasize is this. Someone had told her this news. Someone had brought this message from the land of Judah, that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. I wonder, will we tell someone tomorrow the good news of a full and free salvation found in Jesus Christ? That's our responsibility, to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ and his work for sinners on the cross. And like the prophecy made by Zacharias many, many years later, turn just for a moment to Luke chapter 1 to have a brief look at this prophecy made by Zacharias. Notice what it says there in Luke chapter 1 and verse 68. This is his song of praise, his song of gratitude to the Lord for the birth of his son, for the gift of John, and John's name means gracious. It was a gracious visitation given to Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. And here in verse 68, he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." So Zacharias states that the object of this special visitation of the Lord was to redeem his people. And then Zacharias continues telling who this visitor is. Verse 78, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us." And in the margin, it is sun rising. And I think that's deeply significant. The visitor takes on the name of sun rising. Thank God, to this dark world, the sun rises come. The Lord Jesus Christ has come, who is the light of the world. And then Zacharias spoke of the way of peace. Remember what the angels proclaimed when Christ was born. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the way of peace was opened up by Christ's death on the cross. So the reason for the visitation in the time of Zacharias was that the Lord had come to redeem his people. And the same thing could be said of the message that Naomi heard in the land of Moab. The Lord had come to deliver his people and giving them bread. And it all revolved around the sun rising. It all revolved around the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the light of the world. So into this dark scene in the land of Moab, light came. It was like a gospel message coming from on high to bless Naomi's heart and soul. And the word for visited could be translated, had come to the aid of. So the Lord came to the aid of his people, and especially to the aid of this broken woman. It was good news that moved her. Not her afflictions, it was the good news. It was good news, it was gracious news, and it was great news. So when God wants to bless his people, he comes in the form of a special visitation. Think, for example, of the time when Sarah was told she was going to have a child. And the word of God tells us that the Lord visited Sarah. And as a result of the visitation of the Lord, Isaac was born. And then again, when I think of the children of Israel down in the land of Egypt, they were in bondage. But the Lord came through his servant, and in Exodus 3 verse 16 he said, I have surely visited you. And as a result of that visitation of the Lord, the people were redeemed. They were set free by the power of God. So when God wants to deliver his people, when he wants to bless his people, he comes in the form of a special visitation. And he delivers his people by his grace. So here's this woman. She has suffered under the chastening hand of God during that 10-year period of time. She has lost her husband. She has lost her two sons. Her life has been miserable. And then all of a sudden, she receives this good news, this message that the Lord has visited his people and giving them bread. She heard about bread, and that's deeply significant. Her circumstances had moved her to leave Bethlehem, and now her present circumstances were leading her back to Bethlehem. The famine took her away, and it was food that drew her back. The Lord had visited his people and given them bread. It's deeply significant that it says here that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. They didn't have to buy it. He gave them bread. Salvation is the gift of God. None is good enough to deserve it, and no one is rich enough to buy it. It's free. It's the free gift of God. It's grace all the way. Bread was the one thing needed at that particular time, just as Christ, who is the bread of life, is the one thing needful. And the Lord said to Martha, one thing is needful. And one thing is needful in your life, it's the bread of life. You'll perish unless you partake of the bread of life and receive Christ the Saviour. Now, bread in the Bible is a common figure and an emblem of life, and it ever is illustrative of Christ, who's the bread come down from on high. So Naomi heard how the Lord had visited this people and given them bread. Someone obviously told her what the Lord had done for his people, and she believed the report. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gospel of God's grace in Christ is free. It's simple. And sometimes we preachers complicate things. But the message was delivered. The Lord have visited his people and given them bread. It was simple. It's not complicated. It's simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Repent and believe. That's the message of the Bible. It's simple. When the message came, the word of God tells us that she arose, that she might return from the country of Moab, and then wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was. Salvation is a personal thing. And the word, she, is found five times in verses 6 and 7, and that shows to us that she had a personal responsibility when she heard that message, when it was brought to her heart, when someone told her about bread being in the land of Judah. She had to respond. Salvation is a personal thing. So we have this good news that she heard, a very simple message. But then in the second place we have a very sensible move. What did she do when she heard this good news? Verse 7 tells us, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was. So when she heard this good news, this gracious news, this great news, she immediately began packing her bags for the journey. And surely this is an accurate illustration of repentance. And in her action, she was proving by her works what she had believed in her heart. She was giving evidence now to the faith that she had. She arose that she might return from the country of Moab. She's reversing the direction she and her husband had taken. Believing God, Naomi abandoned Moab and returned to Bethlehem. Now you think of the experience of Jonah. Think of the experience also of the prodigal son. The storm was sent to bring Jonah back to the Lord. The famine and hard times were sent to bring the prodigal back to his father and back to the home. And here's this woman. She hears a message. Yes, she has suffered. She has experienced hard times. Who knows the amount of tears that she shed? Who knows all about the deep sorrow she had in her heart? Who knows really what she endured those years away from God? Only God knew. And God was coming in His mercy and His grace and compassion to deal with this bitter woman, to deal with this barren woman, to deal with this sorrowful woman, to deal with her sorrowful heart. He was coming to her in mercy to bind up the broken heart, to bring her back to Himself. And she resolved by the grace of God to return from the land of Moab unto the land of Judah, verse 7. From the place of emptiness to the place of plenty. This world is like a graveyard. This world is the place of death. It's full of everything that reminds us of death. It's full of sin and corruption and immorality. It will ruin us. It will destroy us. And the Lord wants to bring us out of this place of apathy and indifference. And He wants to bring us out of the land of Moab. And He wants to bring us into Bethlehem, the house of bread. He wants to bring us to Christ. For Bethlehem is a figure of Christ. So He wants us to repent and leave the world behind. And He wants us to come by faith to Christ and trust Him for salvation. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And these two words, from unto, go together. Because that is a very fitting illustration of repentance. It's turning from sin and it's turning unto God in faith and repentance. So these two words go together in the story. And I think again of the prodigal son. When he came to himself, he left behind the far country. Now he set off and he had great thoughts and high hopes about making it in the far country. But he began to be in want. He became a miserable young man, wandering from the father's house. There was nothing in the world for him. It left him empty and bitter and hard. Took away everything that they had. But God, in His mercy and grace, thank God, came to him and stirred up his heart. And the young man was brought to the realization that those in his father's house had plenty. They had joy and contentment. And all the time he was perishing. And then he made up his mind. He changed his mind. And that's what repentance is. It's a change of mind. It's a change of heart. It's a change of attitude. And he says to himself, in his own heart, I'm tired of this. I'm sick of this. I came away from my father's house. I turned my back on my father's house in the way that I'd been brought up. And I came here to find my pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I came to find pleasure and joy. But what did I find? Emptiness. Want. Everything that I had is gone. I'm going to return to my father if he will have me. And so he changed his mind and he decided to go back because there was bread enough and to spare in the father's house. He's going back for bread. Here's Christ again. He's going back for bread. He wants to come back to the father's house. He wants to find acceptance again in the sight of his father. He's going back for bread. So God was at work in his heart and God was at work in this woman's heart. Some of God's choicest people had to go back. Abraham disobeyed God. He went down into the land of Egypt. God had to bring him back again. God had to draw him back to the place of the altar. And God forgave him. There's maybe someone here in this small congregation and you've wandered from God and your heart's cold and you've become indifferent to the things of God and you're not the person you were a year ago or 2 years ago. You've lost your way. Something has happened. Something's eating at you. Something is ruining you. Something is destroying you. And you just can't seem to overcome the obstacle. And it's dragging you down. And you've left your altar. And you've wandered from God. And the Lord's coming tonight through the message. And He's saying, come home. There's bread and enough to spare in the Father's house. Come back to your first love. Return to Christ. Come to Him. Repent today. Arise and leave Moab behind and come to Bethlehem in this service and get right with God. Because the truth of the matter is, we cannot be blessed if we're living in sin. We cannot be happy if we're living in sin. We will know no victory. We will know no joy and no peace and inner contentment if we're away from God in our hearts. It's the will of God to bring His people back. He brought Abraham back. He had great plans for Abraham. He had great things for Abraham to do. He was to be the father of the faithful. God had to deal with him. God had to bring him back. And he did come back. And he erected his altar again. And he went on to do great things for God. Jacob had to return to Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. He wandered for 20 years. He was away for 20 years. And then God called him. And God said, return unto Bethel, get back to the house of God. He had wandered for so long, and God was directing him back to Bethel, the place where he had initially met with God as he fled from before Esau. Naomi had to go back. She had left him. He had not left her. She had left him. And the way to the place of the Lord's blessing was along the road of separation. And that day when she turned her back on Moab and she set her face toward Bethlehem, I believe that's the day the burden rolled away. And that's the time that God wrought a great miracle of grace in her heart. It was grace that drew her back. It was grace that brought Peter back after his terrible denial. Who would have thought that Peter would have denied the Lord? And then who would have thought that the Lord would have restored Peter the way he did? But he did. Because he's a God of infinite mercy and grace. He was sleeping when he should have been praying. Sometimes that's when we fall into the snare of the devil. When we should be praying, we're sleeping. So we have here the very simple message, and then the very sensible move, and then we have a very solemn matter. Naomi made the right decision when she decided to go back to Bethlehem, verse 6. She should never have been in Moab to begin with. She should never have left Bethlehem, but she did. We are glad to see her returning home, there's no doubt about that. But we are saddened, however, to see her telling or trying to send her daughters-in-law back to their heathen idols. This is a very serious matter. Notice what it says, and we find Naomi speaking for the first time in verse 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, listen to it, come with me to Bethlehem. No, she doesn't say that. What does she say? Go return each to her mother's house. Go back into Moab. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. In other words, go back into Moab. Stay there. Marry there. Go back into Moab. So she's sending these two daughters-in-law back into pagan darkness. Isn't this so sad? Isn't this a very solemn matter? And the words go back or return are repeated in this opening chapter, I think. The word in different forms can be found at least 12 times. Go back and find rest in Moab. Did Elimelech find rest when he left Bethlehem Judah to go to Moab? He didn't. And that word rest is only found twice in the book of Ruth. It's found here in verse 9, chapter 1. And then again in chapter 3, verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? When did Ruth find rest? When she found Boaz, who is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't find rest in Moab. You can only find rest in Boaz, who's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives unto his believing people rest. So here we find the backslider. The backslider's life is full of contradictions. She was saying all of the wrong things. She was now giving bad advice. Trust a backslider to do that very thing. In other words, she poured cold water on the initial interest shown by these two Moabite women. Oh, the tragedy of getting out of touch with God. So here we find a woman who's been out of touch with God for a long period of time. And these two daughters-in-law at least show some initial interest in travelling with her to Bethlehem Judah. But now she's giving them bad advice. She's sending them back into idolatry. It shows how far a believer can get away from God. That's a very dangerous thing, to listen to the advice of a backslidden believer. The out of touch David sent Uriah to his death. The speech of the backslider will betray that person. Remember what was said to Simon Peter in Matthew 26, thy speech bewrayeth thee, or it betrayeth thee. Because the person who challenged him knew by his accent where he came from and identified him with Christ. And she was able to say, thy speech betrayeth thee. I know that you are a servant of Christ, but you will not admit it. So it's a dangerous thing to get out of touch with God, and a person who gets out of touch with God will not always give that good advice. How could she recommend the Lord to these two women? Because she in her own heart had forsaken him. What a tragedy, what a contradiction the backslider's life is. I think of Lot when he began to tell him about the destruction coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The word of God says he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. His life was a contradiction, you see, it was inconsistent. And they had no time for what he had to say because he was not right with God, he was not living right. He had no testimony. Now we're told that he was a righteous man. And we are indebted to Peter who provides us with that information. But going, as I've said before, going by the information we have in the Old Testament, we would not conclude that he was a man of God. We would have consigned him to hell going by the way that he lived in the Old Testament. So he's lost his testimony. But the Word of God says that he was a righteous man. But he can't make any influence or impact upon his own family. They'll not listen to him. Because his life for years has been a contradiction. And sadly, when you read this story before us, Naomi only talks about things connected to this life. She talked about husbands and children and so on. She's not focusing on the important things, on the spiritual side of things. And Naomi tells them that because they are Moabites, it's going to cost them. It's going to cost them to leave the land of Moab and to travel with her to the land of promise. She tells them that if they stay in Moab, they can at least remarry among their own people. But if they travel with her and go with her, they wouldn't have a chance of marrying there. Because the Mosaic law said that when a man died, the nearest of kin was to marry his wife. And if there was a brother, he was to marry her. But there would be no one to marry them. So they'd have to remain then in that single state. And she painted a very bleak picture. I wonder why she did not want them to accompany her to Bethlehem. Could it have been that she was ashamed to bring these two girls back because that would have given evidence of her backsliding? She therefore tried to cover up her failures. Because had she taken the two daughters-in-law back with her to Bethlehem, everybody would have known what happened in the land of Moab. That she allowed her two sons to marry pagan woman, and her sin would have been exposed. Now the Holy Spirit does not record that Naomi ever bothered about Orpah. There's no prayer offered on Orpah's behalf. And so when the time came, Orpah decided to go back. Tears are shed, and Orpah has gone back into the darkness. And Naomi has sent her there. Go back. Go back. It's going to cost you too much. Go back. There's no record in the word of Orpah ever coming to know Israel's God. The last sight we have of her is going along that road that leads her back into idolatry. Here's the advice given by a woman who's lost out with God. And then finally, there's the very sad memory. Notice what it says there. As she testifies to the two daughters-in-law, verse 13, the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Then over in verse 20, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? All she has of the past 10 years is a very sad memory. The hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Did you ever see anyone prosper while the hand of God was against that person? It's good to know the blessing of God. It's good to know the approval of heaven. But I want to tell you something. When the hand of God is against a person, nothing that person does will ever prosper. The hand of God was against Naomi. No chastening of the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless. afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. She had sad memories of the past 10 years, but God was calling her, God was wooing her, God was drawing her back to the land of promise in order to make her a blessing. And as I said before, when she did return, she brought with her Ruth, who's a trophy of grace. And because of God's matchless grace, he places her into the ancestral line of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God overruled the foolishness of Naomi and the foolishness of Elimelech and the foolishness of the two sons. God overruled in grace because he had a purpose in grace to fulfill, to bring his son into the world through Ruth, to bless the world by giving to the world the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that Naomi recognized the hand of God in even this discipline. The Lord testifies against every backslider. Is this Naomi, the people ask, when she returned again to the land of Israel? Why was she greeted with this kind of question? Why would they ask this question? No doubt because at that stage she bore the marks of Moab. 10 years away from God had robbed her of spiritual power and all the pleasantness that grace provides. That's what the word Naomi means, pleasantness. And she said, call me not Naomi, don't call me pleasant. Rather call me Mara. She had surrendered the name Naomi, which means the pleasant one, and takes the name Mara, which means the bitter one. And she had suffered a bitter experience, many bitter experiences over the years. And she feels that she is no more worthy to be called Naomi. Moab is the land of bitterness to the child of God, but Bethlehem is the land of bread. The spirit of bitterness often exists in the backslider who returns to God. She said, I went out full. She went out with a husband and 2 children, and she came back empty. I went out full, and now I've returned home empty. The Lord has taken away everything precious to me. I have suffered. Don't call me Naomi. I've lost the joy of the Lord. I've lost my husband. I've lost my sons. I've lost my joy. Just call me Mara. I'm a bitter woman. She took the blame at least. She acknowledged this. I went out full, and the Lord brought me back empty. Same thing happened in the story of the prodigal son. He went out with his inheritance. He came back empty. But the father soon remedied that. He took away the filthy garments and put on him the best robe, the ring on his finger, the shoes on his feet, killed the fatted calf, had a time of celebration. He's home. You remember the man who went on the Jericho road, fell among the thieves. They wounded him. They took away all that he had except his life. And when we go down that Jericho road in disobedience to the Lord, we are robbed of peace and joy and our testimony. The same thing had happened to Naomi. Yet before we leave the story of Naomi and her return, we must notice that despite the seemingly carnal condition of her heart, when she arrived home, the Lord was waiting there graciously to receive her. And that reminds us again of the prodigal son coming home. Is there someone here today and you need to come home? The word got out, Naomi's home. She's back. After all these years, she's back. I said before, only crushed grapes produce the wine of joy. The broken alabaster box sheds the spikenard abroad. The cut diamond sparkles with new luster, because God has wonderful things in store for Naomi. But before that could happen, he had to break her. He had to put her into the melting pot. He had to discipline her life. And as he disciplined her life, he purged away the dross. And all that old filth was brought to the surface. Just the way you smelt the silver or the gold, and the heaps applied, and all the impurities come to the surface, and then it's all removed away. So the Lord, in this discipline, was bringing to light all the filth, and all the rebellion, and all the stubbornness. He was dealing with her. He applied the heat. It wasn't easy. When you apply heat, it's never pleasant. But when the heat was applied, have brought to the surface all the old impurities. And then by grace it was all cleansed away. God had a purpose for her. And before the book ends, we can see a smile is put under her face again, because God has visited her in grace. What a wonderful story we have here before us tonight in the word of the Lord. A very simple message. The Lord had visited his people and given them bread. A very sensible move. She arose when she heard that message, and she went forth out of the place where she was. That's repentance. She turned from Moab to Bethlehem, Judah. Then we have this very solemn matter. She failed to give good advice, and Orpah goes back into the darkness. Naomi sent her there, gave her no encouragement to come, for whatever reason. And then the very sad memory, as she thought of those 10 years, filled her heart with bitterness. She was a backslider away from God, and she had to suffer until God brought her home, until God brought her back. And then God purged away the impurities and fitted her for a great work. Amen.